Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
What up?
So we have to open this up with... So Steve and I are hanging out, of course,
different night of the week because we can't get our schedule straight.
And it's Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, Thursday Night Football's on. At least it's, you know, the actual kickoff. And we're not actually going to talk about this game, so it doesn't matter.
We're watching the battle of two... What do you call those freeze pops?
The freeze pops, for sure. The Dolphins look ridiculous. But the reason I bring that up is... as we get ready to turn the TV and get ready to start recording, we see this thing that comes up that the NFL is going gaga for the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
What in the actual hell is happening?
Can there be, like a rock one at some point in time?
Oh, my God. Like, remember when the Super Bowl halftime show used to be, like, you know, U2 and, like, these legendary bands and, like, it was a big deal, like Prince did in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Like... Lady Gaga in Houston?
It's all about pop music, dude.
The hell does that have anything to do with anything? Now, I will say Bruno Mars killed it.
Bruno Mars did kill it.
So that was a good one. But seriously, Lady Gaga? Good thing I have a lot of prop bets usually going on during the Super Bowl
halftime. It'll be a good time for the Victoria's Secret Bowl. Like, at halftime, you have a halftime show. You know,
the Puppy Bowl? I'd rather watch the Puppy Bowl.
They have girls and playing football. Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. So, yeah, Lady Gaga doing the Super Bowl. But we have a great episode for you guys planned, and hopefully we are able to succeed all expectations.
So, sorry about last week. We did publish our iTunes, got to iTunes, for whatever reason, didn't go through.
I have an idea. Our IT intern sucks at his job. But
it's up now, so.
It's definitely on there, so check it out. If you want to go back and listen to me rant about the Bears, which I'm probably going to do again today. But you know what? I want to start off by just talking about what we learned in week three, because Sunday was just puzzling to me in a lot of different ways. I had the head scratch going most of the day. There's a lot of teams that I thought were going to do much better. And I'm not writing a lot of these teams off because I think they're better than what they showed. And again, this is a infant season right now. We're talking three games in. There's a lot that can happen.
After this week, we'll be a quarter of the way through the season, though.
And that's quarter one. So speaking of quarter one, we're just going to get into what we learned and kind of all those things for this last week. And what I want to start off by talking about is Arizona. They go into Buffalo, and they make Buffalo look like they are a Super Bowl-winning defense.
Well, it was a game in the first half.
Yeah.
The second half just got out of hand.
And Carson Palmer just doesn't look right. He doesn't look good. He's not making the passes he was making. He's not making the reads. He had a multiple interception game, which Carson hasn't done while he's been in Arizona. So, Steve, what I want to ask you about is, you know, we talk about, obviously, them getting their butts kicked. They're now 1-2. Two things. One, is Bruce Arians' style of coaching in question in terms of we just kind of go and do things the way they're supposed to be done, and we're not going to go off the beaten path. What I've been doing forever has worked, so I'm going to keep doing it. Or is it time for them to change? So basically what I'm asking is a panic mode in Arizona.
I mean, not yet. It's going to be very soon. If they lose this weekend, it's panic mode. Just hit that button.
Right.
You can go ahead and Bruce Arians needs to have everything in question at that point in time for him. Who's playing and everything. Because it's got to be next man up. If, you know, you're having Carson Palmer playing bad games back to back, sit him down and let him think about what the hell he's doing.
And if you're listening to this podcast on a consistent basis, you know that I'm a big Bruce Arians fan. I'm a big Arizona Cardinals fan, so for me, for them to come out just flat, and not to mention how much money I lost on them this week, because God bless, pretty much every bet I had was with the Arizona Cardinals, covering like, I don't know, 6, I think the line was, they just got smashed, and it wasn't even, it was unfortunate, so, you know, I don't know if it's panic mode yet, but they're going to have to do something different for sure.
Did they even score a point in the second half at all?
They did, but it wasn't, I mean, I think they ended up losing.
It was like, wasn't it like 18-all going into...
No, I don't think it was that. I mean, Buffalo led for most of the game, and there was a shot there for a while that Arizona could do it, but then they just kept turning the ball over. Carson just kept throwing the ball over.
David Johnson looked good, too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, honestly, it came down to Carson just not playing well.
And their defense thought they were going to stop, too.
Yeah, and Buffalo's not that good. Yeah. I mean, they're good, but they're not that good. You don't go into. Well, you don't just let Arizona.
They're an average team because Rex Ryan's job was in jeopardy after he lost the first two games.
Yeah.
And now they beat Arizona. It's like, oh, it's all good.
Well, that's how the NFL goes. And like you always say, any given Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So, the other thing that I want to talk, keeping on point, because I actually put this on.
You know what I learned over the weekend?
What's that?
So did you watch one of that football game?
I did.
You can actually see the players stay in a unity together.
That was awesome.
That was a very cool thing.
And it was
nobody kneeled down or anything. Just for it was all about Katrina 10 years later, and everybody stood together, came together in the middle of the field for a moment of silence. It was a very touching moment. Hopefully you got to see it. It was very cool to see.
Yeah, and I'm glad I was on prime time for everyone to see.
I did enjoy Michael Irvin being on prime time a lot.
That was different, and it was nice. And I'm glad that they're doing that. And I think a lot of that Steve and I talked about it. And I think what it has to do with is, this is Boomer's last season, so I think we're going to see a lot more guest specials, guest speakers.
I hope so, yeah.
Come through, whether they work for the ESPN or they don't.
They'll probably have Tom Jackson come back on in the very last episode.
Just do something cool like that. Yeah. Right? So, so going back to the actual football, the other thing that I want to talk about is how many more positions can Terrell Pryor play in one game?
I wish I had him in fantasy football.
I picked him up this week, and he's probably never going to do that
again. I think he had 34 points last week.
It was something crazy. He ran the ball. He caught the ball. He threw the ball.
Yeah.
I think he played safety one play. What they should have done, though, Steve, is had him kick field goals, because that field goal kicker cost them the game on a couple different occasions. I think he ended up missing three field goals.
They could have had him do a Doug Flutie where he plays quarterback and then just drop kicks it in the end zone.
That's what he should have done, because they had a shot there right at the end of regulation. Again, this was the third field goal that he missed.
Yeah.
Had he kicked that in, they would have won the game. He missed it, obviously. They go into overtime. They lose. The Dolphins now have a victory. Cleveland is still the worst team in the NFL. Not by much, because the Bears are knocking on that door.
They actually made that was a good game to watch, too. The Dolphins,
it was
a game.
It was entertaining.
Game, yeah.
It was definitely entertaining. What else we got, Steve? What else we got for week one?
Sam, if you're listening, Dez Bryant's injury. How about that?
So, and I'm not necessarily going to talk about the injury itself. What I want to talk about is how does
he had an MRI scheduled for Monday
that he skipped on purpose, and then had an MRI scheduled again for Tuesday, which he also skipped. Now, his rationale and his coach's rationale was, when you know that there's a possibility of getting bad news, and you just avoid it and assume that it's, if I don't know it, then it's just not, it may not be bad news, because if I don't actually know, then it could be good news. And that was his rationale, and his coach actually came out and said that. So he was afraid that he was going to get bad news, so instead of getting that bad news, he just skipped the MRI. Listen, dude, you can't do that. As a professional athlete.
As an organization, they should fine him for doing that.
I think they need to suspend him. I think when he's healthy and he's cleared to play, he misses
the
game.
The team should suspend him, not
the NFL. No, this should be the team. This should be the team's decision to say, you're a leader.
Past Caesar Goodell doing such a thing.
Well, yeah, but you're a leader on this team. You're one of the best wide receivers in the game. You're putting your health at jeopardy. You're putting your team's success at jeopardy. You're being selfish.
Yeah.
And you go get healthy. If something happens and it says that you have a torn MCL or a sprained ACL, whatever it is, you need to know that so you can rehab it and get back on the field. You're not going to play on Sunday.
Your career left on the line.
Exactly. And so you missed this Sunday. What's the big deal? You're probably going to miss this Sunday anyway, because if they have any sense, they're not going to play you anyway.
Is it a contract year for them?
I don't think so. I don't think it is. Yeah. And I understand the whole argument about... I understand the whole argument about, I want to play, I just love the game, and all of that, fine. But if you love the game, you want to be healthy, and don't let your teammates down, don't let your organization down by just being stupid and saying, you know what, I may have a pretty serious knee injury, I'm just going to skip the MRI, because if I don't know, then it's okay. What happens if you go out and play on the field, they somehow let you play, and you hurt even more?
So last year, Dez Bryant signed a 5-year, $70 million contract.
So the money's not the issue. He's already under contract.
He's being a competitor, and he wants to be able to play.
But I think he's being selfish. And I think that it's disappointing. He's not going to play this Sunday anyway. And I know, and a lot of you weren't able to listen to last week's episode, you would think I was a Dallas Cowboys fan when we talked about all that last week. But you know, you pull stuff like this, it's like, come on. You got to get better. You got to do better. You got to stop being selfish.
Yep. So, we had a couple more injuries go on over the weekend. Yeah, we did.
Start with your boy, JJ.
Yeah, let's start with Papa John's new spokesperson. And if you're a Houston fan, good news. The good news for you is you'll get to see JJ Watt on TV a lot more.
Yes, you will. And you'll be able to if, apparently buy pizza.
Yeah, if you buy pizza from Papa John's right now, there's a picture of JJ Watt on the cover.
And he's so
I'm looking right at it.
Him and Peyton are in bed with Papa. But so let me ask you, Steve. Like, is that? I mean, he's obviously one of those competitors, and you know, we like JJ obviously as a player.
Everybody does. How can you not?
And he comes out and says, "I'll be back," but they put him on IR.
Well,
IR, and you can come back from IR.
You can still pull people off IR. I think by week 13 or 14 or something like that.
You can bring him back, but how does this affect their season?
It's a mental issue for their defense at this point in time, because that's a big shoot to fill right there. He's a leader on their defense, and you're without one of your biggest leaders on your team.
I mean, he is, right? So I think the leadership in the locker room will still be there, obviously. He'll still be there.
Jadavian's playing. So it's time to put up or shut up, dude.
Yeah, and I think their defense is going to be okay. I think their biggest concern, well, I think their bigger concern.
They're coming off of that 27-0.
Exactly what I was getting ready to say. So I think their bigger concern is the fact that their offense can't score a point. And I think that they need to figure out their offense. And Brock Osweiler needs to figure out if he's going to be that big multi-million-dollar Top Gun quarterback that they paid him for.
Yeah.
And I think that's the bigger storyline. Obviously, losing someone like JJ, it sucks. And I think I've said this on the podcast before. We don't want to see these top players get hurt. It's disappointing when it happens because it's not
bad
as competitive. It's just bad for the game. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about a division that we thought was wide open anyway, but we both clearly thought that Houston was above the other teams in this division. Now, losing JJ, is that going to happen or not?
So, as I'm looking at this game real quick, when you see the Dolphins players line up, it makes the rest of the field look terrible. I don't know why. But you know how you saw Boise line up all blue uniforms on that blue turf that they had? This is so weird. I don't know if I can watch this. I can listen to it. I can't watch it.
it's probably those lines that are sitting
So speaking of multi-million dollar quarterback, Russell.
Russell Wilson, yeah, so
my starting quarterback in fantasy,
yeah. Well, they beat the hell out of the 49ers, and their offense actually looked good for the first time this season.
Yeah.
They're figuring out,
just like we talked about.
Yeah, they did. And I lost money on that game, too, because I thought, for some reason, 49ers were going to cover a plus 10, which they clearly didn't, because they, you know.
What were you thinking?
I clearly wasn't. But, that being said, it looked bad. I don't know if you saw the injury. Or you saw the replay or anything? It looked bad. Like he said, when he went down, I looked at that and I said, "That's an ACL." Like he's done. It looked bad.
So
but
just sprained MCL.
It looks like it was just a sprained MCL. And today he comes out and says, Russell himself comes out and said, "There's no doubt that I'm missing Sunday's game. They're going to New York. I think we're going to talk about that later. Maybe not, but Russell will be fine. To the Jets. It'll be interesting to see how he shows up because he's that dual threat." And if he's nursing that knee at all, we're going to have to see him rely on his arm.
He's going
to
be wearing a brace. They put a brace on him. I didn't remember seeing – I don't remember the injury itself, but I do remember seeing him on the sidelines getting a brace put on.
And he did, come back.
I was watching Red Zone now that I have Sunday NFL tickets. And when I got home from work, I'm just – I turned Red Zone on, and then I flipped back over to watch the other games.
I'm going
to
need your logins for that because watching games on Sunday night at a bar this last Sunday was miserable.
I work on Sundays, so
we'll have to figure something out. But yeah, so I mean, he did come back after that injury. I think he played one more series, and then they took him in the locker room. It'll be interesting to see just how he shows up. You know, anytime you have that kind of injury, you don't know how much.
Is it Rawls hurt now, dude?
Who's that?
Rawls.
Yeah,
they're the running back.
The running back is definitely hurt as well. So early on, again, you're getting these injuries.
Yeah, we got to see Jimmy Graham score.
Jimmy Graham still plays football.
Yeah, I dropped him. I'm talking about fantasy football, and then he scored the touchdown.
Jimmy Graham still plays football. He looked good. It was a good win for the Seahawks. And now it just makes it that much more interesting. You have the NFC West. And I'm talking about this, but the LA Rams are leading that division. They're tied for the first in that division at this point. Who?
Yeah.
What? And again,
you're you're welcome, Jeff Fisher.
It's super early, but who knew?
It's all because of the therapy.
Yeah, well, and we're going to talk about that later when we get into some of these rookie quarterbacks. So, quarter one. We want to talk about just week three and all the stuff that happened, and it was just a crazy week. I mean, who knew? And the last thing I want to bring up about this this quarter is.
You want to bring up stuff from last week? I got one I wanted to ask you about. So,
but let me just bring up the Minnesota Vikings real quick. 3-0. Their starting quarterback out for the year. You got Adrian Peterson go down, and their defense is like, I don't care who's playing here. I don't care who's running the ball. We're going to go into Carolina, who was 15-1 last year, undefeated at home.
Yeah, since like 2014.
No one wins in Charlotte.
No.
No one wins. And Minnesota goes in there with Sam Bradford and they got
down early. It was like 10-0.
It was 10-0, and they end up outscoring 22-0. The offense... still not great, but man, I think we can start talking about that defense as being one of the best, if not the best, in the league right now.
And it's Mike Zimmerman, dude. He was great in Cincinnati.
He was, yeah.
Cincinnati was great because of Mike Zimmerman's defense.
Absolutely.
And it's now starting to turn over in Minnesota.
And what's sad is I couldn't name you
a single player on
their defense. I was thinking about that. I was going to be like, this kid did really great. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They go into Carolina, they're 3-0, but
you know
the division.
You know what's great about just that their team in general is, it's not just one player on the defense, it's their entire defense.
Yeah. There's no holes. It's exciting to see because in the NFC North, that's what we want to see. As an NFC North fan, we want to see smash mouth football, run the ball, and have a great defense.
So
and it's
they,
gone away from
the
all
Minnesota
that.
Bears?
They're not the Minnesota Bears, man. But the rest of the league... or the division has gone away from that. When you look at what Green Bay does, what Detroit does, the Bears don't do anything, so you can't really put them in any conversation. But Minnesota's doing what that Midwest, you know, hardcore, just smash mouth football is happening. They don't care who's playing offense because they're just going to win every game because you're not going to be able to score on them.
So you know who you can score on is Pittsburgh, apparently.
Holy crap.
I know you want to talk about rookie quarterbacks a little bit later, but I got to bring this game up, dude, because this is
another one I lost.
This was
on,
just man. Absolutely ridiculous, and both of us picked Pittsburgh to win this game.
How could you not? You got a rookie quarterback going into Pittsburgh, one of the toughest places we've both been to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And we've both been to Pittsburgh. That is a tough out. That is a tough place to play. Those fans are ridiculous. You got a rookie quarterback going in there. How do you think that they're not going to win that game?
It's mind blowing to see that score.
You know who was on my bench? Darren Sproles.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops is right, because Darren Sproles is like the Energizer Bunny, and he's 90 years old, and he's still looking as good as he is. That game was completely out of hand. I was extremely pissed because I thought, you know, the hole that I dug myself in with the early games was a late game. I was going to redeem myself and everything, put a lot of money on Pittsburgh. Thanks, Raplesberger. Appreciate it.
So, real quick, before we end this quarter, I was reading something about C.J. Spiller getting signed with the Seahawks. Is that a smart sign?
It's got to be a security thing, I guess, at this point. CJ's...
Because he went from, you know, Buffalo, where he was doing really good, and then he went down into New Orleans, where he was
doing great.
He was all right, but he was also down there with Darren Sproles, who then went up to Philly.
So I think Seattle is trying to figure out the next... What do you do? Like, I don't think they planned for the biggest... Like, as losing Marshawn Lynch as much... missing him as much, I guess I should say. It was the next man up. It doesn't matter. It's our system. We have a great offensive line. We all have those things. Marshawn was clearly a beast, and they haven't been able to figure it out. Rawls was good. He may be hurt. CJ probably.
I mean, he ain't gonna get much into it. I mean, he might have like five plays into the next game, but I'm talking about in the future. You know, he might be a good pickup for fantasy football.
Yeah, he definitely
he was
could
good
be.
Receiving back anyway. So.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll come back and talk about the Colts and Bears. All right, we're back. So now let's talk about our two teams.
I don't want to claim my team anymore, Steve. I don't want to claim it anymore.
Well, as much as I picked them to lose last week, the Colts ended up pulling out a win. And
no, you didn't. You actually picked them to win. Snow picked them to lose.
Oh, and that's right.
And we were sitting there what is happening? Bizarro world. So I guess now Snow just needs to pick against the Colts.
Yep, every game.
You were all about it until that happened.
All right, I lost my mind. First of all, I'd like to thank Bob Lamy for the fantastic comments on air. Because I felt the same way in my mind. He just said it for me. So, Andrew Luck fumbled the ball. I was like, all right, it's all good. Or, no, he threw a pick.
No, it was a pick.
And then he fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
And I just lost all confidence in him at that point in time. So I was texting you.
Yeah.
I was texting Shane. And I was like, man, I'm just done. I can't even watch anymore. So I turned the game off. I was done with it because I'm sick of this dude turning the ball over.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely tired of it. You're supposed to be able to take care of the ball. We paid you to take care of the ball.
You paid him a lot.
You can't even take care of the pill, dude. Come on.
It
was rough to watch.
Here's what I will say about the Colts and Andrew this season so far is the sluggish starts need to stop. He's playing well.
They started out pretty good.
Kind of sluggish, though. He's not doing what he's supposed to. When it comes down to, like, the last 5 minutes of the game, the last two games, including this one, obviously, that they won on the last drive, he looks like the Andrew Luck that you paid him to be.
Yes.
But he's great in the two-minute offense. He's great in that hurry-up, you know, no huddle, calling the
plays. We don't do that shit.
No.
And I
don't understand why.
I'll tell you why, because Chuck Pagano doesn't want that style of offense because he wants his defense to rest.
Well, you want to win games or you not want to win games?
It worked when we were under Peyton and Coach Dungy because the defense was a lot smaller and they were a lot quicker and they could take the repetition like that. The offense moved quick because we could put points on the board. It's all right if the defense gets scored on, but they can make some plays and stop a play or two here or there. And that's why we won when we had Peyton. Because our offense worked well. It was a running gun offense. Sure. It was all good.
Yeah.
The defense was a lot smaller. Pagano is not that kind of defensive coordinator or coach in Indianapolis, where he wants to have his defense rest so they can come out and be able to stop them. And they have been doing a good job. They did a good job in Denver. They made some big stops, held them to field goals multiple times. We lost the game because Peyton Manning threw pick sixes. Or not Peyton Manning. Andrew Luck threw pick sixes. I'm sorry. I'm just used to Peyton Manning pick sixes at this point in time. I'm so tired of him turning the ball over, dude.
I just think that
do your job.
When it works, what works well in the last 5 minutes of the game should be able to be translated throughout the game. So your defense is not built for speed and they have to get more reps in. But if you're winning the game, you can afford to give up some plays. And that's my only beef with it.
But those plays are potentially touchdowns, and you don't want to give them up.
Well, you're giving them up on offense right now when Andrew's throwing pick sixes. So,
I agree.
So there's got to be something that happens. At least the Colts get a win. You guys are going to London next week. I guess you're already in London right now.
Yeah, we're in London right now.
So we'll talk about that later. But
all right, Jim. So Chicago. You guys played on Sunday Night Football.
And the NFL regrets all of that, as do I.
I don't know why you guys were on set.
Because we weren't supposed to be this bad. And I'm not going to get into the rant because I already did it last week. And, you know, I had the halftime therapy and all that. And, you know, I'm hoping that was more of a long-term therapy. What I want to talk about is how I think early, right now in the season, this is the last season for Jay Cutler. And I read an article, and I cannot remember who wrote it, so I apologize again. I'm going to plagiarize, but that's fine. The article didn't say the opinion. The article said that this is the end. At the end of this year, if the Bears decide to part ways with Cutler by cutting him, financially it will not matter. The way that his contract was structured, it was front-loaded. And this season he was owed a ton of money, guaranteed, regardless if he plays or not. I think it was like $18 million. But next year, if they end up letting him go, It's not going to be financially a burden. Mm-hmm. I never thought that John Fox was completely on board with
him as quarterback.
Exactly. And especially with Gase gone now. And we can sit here and make excuses for him. And I know I got buddies, we were talking about it on Saturday, I got buddies that are like, back off Cutler, back off Cutler. You've always been a supporter for Cutler. And I'm like, no, I'm done, and I'm sticking to my guns. I think we're better off with Brian Hoyer. And here's why I'll tell you that, just on fantasy projections alone.
Did he look better in the game in Dallas?
I mean, he looked... we're not a good football team. We're not a good football team. He looked good in the second half. You know, made it more competitive. That first half, I was just sitting there like, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. We can't keep a running back healthy. We're now to our third string running back that's going to start now. And Jordan Howard, any one of you IU fans who was good, his first run, he had like a 26-yard burst. And I'm like, okay, there he goes. He finished with 37 yards for the game.
But you got Joaquin Bell from Detroit now.
Awesome. Who cares? It doesn't matter. None of it matters.
So we're going to throw your mind when Cutler got hurt.
Great.
What was it?
I mean, fine. And I was talking to my boy Brian.
Was he on the sidelines, like, pouting?
No, I mean, I wasn't paying attention if he was or not. So I talked to my boy Brian about it, and Brian's still a Cutler. He's like, quit. He's like, support Cuddy. Stop hating on Cuddy. Like, we had this heated discussion.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was hurt before the game started. So don't get mad at him. He was already hurt before he, you know, stepped on there. What I will say is, reference back to my Dez Bryant comment. You hurt your team if you play hurt more than you're helping your team. You look awful, and if whether the fans know or the other teams know that you're hurt or not, you're not doing us any favors. Because all you're doing is hurting yourself more.
Wait, so
being an Iron Man and playing hurt doesn't help the bigger picture.
Okay, so let's go. Let's, even though I said I agree with you earlier, but let's just think back. Think back to this. Think back, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. Players would play with concussions and all kinds of crazy stuff. Broken fingers, like linemen would break their fingers and just pop it right back in place and go back out there.
Yep.
I mean, it happens still to this day.
It does. Here's my Carter argument, because I know what you're getting ready to say.
I'm just saying, just in defense of him trying to play, into the game if he was hurt already.
Great. But perform. Right? So that's the only disconnect.
Step down.
That's the only, you know, and I get it. There was that playoff game that the NFC Championship game, I'll bring you back, the last time we were good, Green Bay, playing Green Bay for the NFC Championship game, right? He comes out in the second half hurt. He plays that one series because he was like, you know what? I can still go. I can still go. He had a torn MCL, went out, Iron Man-ed out, tried to be an Iron Man, right? What did he do? Nothing. Three and out, hurt the team, and that's when the whole pouting thing started because he was sitting on the bench and all that happened, right? My thing is if you're so hurt that you can't help your team, don't play.
Yeah.
Because you're hurting your team by doing that, right? I'll bring you back. Keep the Chicago reference. Michael Jordan played with the flu.
Yep.
In the NBA Finals.
Yep.
Right? Played with the flu at 103 degree temperature and whatever. He killed it. Killed it. He performed. Yeah, should he have been playing? Probably not. But he still performed. And I'm probably going to get chastised for saying this because, you know, the Iron Man and playing hurt is a big deal, and that's great. But if you're not helping your team and you're going to throw picks and you're going to fumble and you're going to get sacked and you're going to go three and out, you're not helping, it's not worth it. And I think it's going to cost him his job. I really do. And he'll probably get picked up by someone.
Is he going to cost they're always John gonna Fox be. His job?
No, because John Fox is he's too tenured of a coach. He's too tenured of a coach. You're not going to pull the plug on John Fox after 2 years. He got fired at Denver.
Pulled the plug on Trestman.
Well, Trestman was not him. Then John Fox is not insane. John Fox took the Carolina Panthers as an expansion team to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, him getting fired in Denver was like, what? That doesn't make any sense, but there were aspirations to win Super Bowls. Right now, we're just trying to make the Bears competitive. And I don't think he's got the proper talent on his team to be competitive. I don't think it's John Fox's fault. I think he's coaching a good scheme. I think he's a good coach. I don't think I don't think we have the players that can execute the game plan. That's our fundamental problem. And the only way we get that back is by drafting and signing free agents that fit the scheme. Jay Cutler does not fit that.
He just has to get back to running the ball and doing the ground pound.
Exactly. see the Vikings. And that's
well,
and I think that's
that,
the problem.
They can't do that anymore. They're still relying on Sam Bradford at this point in time. But
their defense is head and shoulders above anyone else. So again, I know this is only week four, and I know it's super early in the year, but just looking
at how bad would a Super Bowl with the Vikings and the Broncos be?
Oh, it'd be terrible. God, it'd be terrible. It's not gonna happen. But as far as Jay and the Bears are concerned, I mean, the season is gone. Suck for Fredette. Like, hashtag it. Do all of what you got to do. That's the new game plan. I mean, it has to be. Because we're not going to – I mean, we're going to win three games if we're lucky this year.
Hey, you picked them for like six. So.
Yeah, and now I'm picking them for three because that's how bad we are. Like, I had them beating the Eagles as one of the original.
Well, yeah, I had them beating Detroit, and I'm sure everybody else in the world did.
I mean,
too.
So technically, I guess I'm only one game off right now because I said we were going to be 1-2, we're 0-3. But as bad as we look, I mean, you pick a win.
Going into quarter two,
pick a win. I can't pick them. I mean, it's that rough. So I don't know. I think. Whether Jay is hurt or not, whether he's going to come back this season or not, remains to be seen. I'm sure he's a competitor, and I'm not going to take anything away from him. He owns every passing record there is to own with the Chicago Bears. He owns them. So he's in the history books.
Yeah.
He's absolutely there. Like him, love him, hate him, doesn't matter. He's in the history books. But I'm not sure if he even does come back and plays this year, which he probably will.
Well, John said his job is in jeopardy, so...
Well, and I feel like everyone's job is in jeopardy. And there's no guarantees that anyone's going to come back to any of it.
You know what? I was sitting here thinking about this, and we should have like a little thing on here that just says, hey, if you don't agree with anything Jib says, you should post it on Facebook.
You should.
And make your argument heard, and I will make sure I read it back on air to Jib to see what his rebuttal is. So
there'll be a lot of people that'll be like,
if you got anything to say to Jib, please post it to Facebook. I post it to our page, not his personal page.
Yeah, please. My mom looks at my personal page.
Yeah, please don't do that. But yeah, post it to our page, and we'll read them on air, and we'll have a little rebuttal segment.
I definitely say a lot of stupid and crazy stuff, but you know what?
I would like to argue with you about color. So
I'm sure he would, because he definitely did it Saturday when we were sitting there at a wedding reception, and I'm sitting there like, yeah, dude, no, you're wrong. And he did not want to hear anything about it. He's like, who are you going to get? What are you going to do? Same argument. Like, who are you going to get? What are you going to do? Brian Hoyer could be just fine. What happens if he gives us a couple a couple good games? Remember Josh McCown? He looked really good. We got him a contract. He tore his shoulder up or whatever. But, I mean, we got him a contract with Cleveland. You never know. You know, the argument of who are you going to get?
You could trade for Terrell Pryor.
Terrell, I mean, God.
Hey, you guys need a kicker too, so fuck it.
Yeah, we got it all.
All right, we're coming back. We'll let you get into some halftime therapy here in a minute. All right, Jib. So, halftime therapy.
Let's do it.
So, I know you wanted to talk about this because of the game that happened with the Jets last weekend. But I just like to keep it in perspective for you. The last time a quarterback did something this bad probably was Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And he's a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but
he's... So I know you want to talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick. So
I do.
Talk to him. Give him some therapy, dude.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick, I need you to pay attention here, buddy. This whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde stuff you've got going on needs to stop. I like Todd Daniels. I don't want him to get fired because you're terrible at your job. You held out for most of the offseason... because you wanted to get paid, and you're a Harvard guy, so I understand that you know that you need to cash in now because you're not that good of a quarterback, and that's fine. But let me just read you your stat lines. Not from this last week, because we'll get to that in a second. The week before, when you won at Buffalo, barely, but you still won at Buffalo, you were 24 for 34, which was good. 374 yards, which is actually really good. And you had a touchdown pass. You know what the key stat in that was? You didn't have any interceptions. Well, then you decide that you're going to play Kansas City. And you're going to come out and throw six interceptions? Come on, Ryan. You're way better than that. Or maybe you're not.
You got to figure it out. But this whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde bullshit has to stop. You can't keep putting your team at jeopardy. Your team is not that bad. But when you turn the ball over six times to the opposing team, you're not doing them any favors. You can't keep putting your defense in that situation, which is a good defense. And let's just talk about the tools that you have on offense. You got some former Bears players that are pretty good.
They're calling Matt Forte the Terminator.
Matt Forte's on your team now. Did you forget about that? Brandon Marshall's still on your team too. Forget about that? No, because you're too busy throwing the ball to the opposing team. You're green, not red.
Gangrene.
Stop it. Now, Steve already talked about it earlier, so this isn't the end for you. Build yourself back up. Go out there and do better.
Do your homework.
Be a game manager if you need to for a couple games. Stop being dumb. You're okay, Ryan. You're clearly not going to be the future of that franchise, and you're making them look really smart by not paying you. If you keep playing like this, you're going to be sitting on the couch next to Cutler. So stop doing it. I'm out.
All right, Div. So, 4-3. Real quick, let's talk about Josh Gordon.
Not Jeff Gordon.
Not Jeff Gordon, like you said when we were just talking about a second ago. Not the race car driver.
Okay.
We're talking about Josh Gordon, the former football player at this point in time, but he was serving a 4-game suspension for the Browns for conditional reinstatement by the NFL. He was forced to sit out last season for his third violation. Now he's checking himself into rehab.
And so he would have been eligible, not this week, but the week that Brady comes back.
Yes.
Is when he would have been eligible. So I got two.
Did you look at Kessler and was like, no, I don't play?
Yeah, well, so there's two thoughts I have.
Two thoughts.
Thought number one is
hang out with Greg Hardy.
Well, good for him, right? So good for him to recognize that he's got a problem. So that's first and foremost, right? Because you got a problem, work it out. You can't figure it out. As far as him ever playing for the Browns again, it's over.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Browns fans. He's played 5 games in the last 36. And the 31 games that he hasn't played were due to suspension. He clearly has a problem. And what sucks is he was a beast. And probably would have been, regardless of who's throwing him the ball, because I can't name any of the quarterbacks that threw him the ball.
They've only had like 32 quarterbacks.
Right. So it didn't matter. He was one of those wide receivers that didn't matter because he was that good. Who was throwing him the ball, which is unfortunate for the league, and it's unfortunate for him because he had a promising career. But you know what? He's battling addiction because that's all it's got to be at this point. It can't be like, I'm just going to go smoke some weed. He's got to have something wrong with him, and there's programs for that, and he's checking himself into one. I don't think the Browns, what they're trying to do, Coleman, I know he got hurt, but you know they're getting younger. They're going to have to figure out quarterback at some point. I just don't know if the Browns can put up with and continue
they
to
can.
Put up with
yeah, they can.
This kind of situation year in and year out. You're taking a spot from a kid that may be good. Who knows? I mean, hell, Terrell Pryor is looking great at wide receiver. You know, you may be okay. It's just unfortunate. It's an unfortunate
for everything.
And that was not the way I thought I was going to take that. I thought I was going to be like, oh, smoke Mary Jane and be happy.
Yeah.
But you know, I do recognize that.
Should Greg Hardy follow in this guy's footsteps? This
Greg point? Hardy should just go away. If we ever talk about Greg Hardy again, I mean, that dude messed it up for himself.
Is it good for, like, the PR aspect of it to say, hey, I need to check myself into rehab?
For pulling a gun on your girlfriend?
He's obviously got a substance abuse problem now.
Well,
so
I think he got pulled over with, like, coke on him.
Yes.
Is that what it was, right? I don't know if that's he's got a substance abuse issue. Like, the way I look at Greg Hardy, I look completely different than Jeff Gordon. Josh Gordon. I look Josh Gordon completely different. So Josh Gordon clearly there has to be something wrong because he's not doing anything to hurt anyone else other than himself. Whereas Greg Hardy made decisions, and I know he was cleared and everything. He made decisions that impacted others. And then you have your own organization.
It's also impacting the teams that people have signed. The Browns are impacted by this. Obviously, the Cowboys are impacted by it. And the team that's playing for them, I don't remember them. But.
This completely leads into...
Panthers had him.
Yeah, the Panthers definitely had him. But this leads to an early argument that when we were talking about the Cowboys, and I forgot to bring this up then, so I'm glad we're talking about it now. I give more props to the Cleveland Browns as an organization who recognizes that Josh Gordon has an issue, and they stuck with him. Greg Hardy gets into some problems. They pay him the $10 million for the 1 year and say, you know, and remember Jerry Jones coming out and saying, I really like how Greg Hardy warms up at pregame, and he's a true leader on the team, and all this other stuff, and covering it all up, and saying that Greg Hardy's all this, and a great guy and everything, who he's clearly not. And the second that they realize that they're wrong, what do? They cut him. They don't re-sign him. They let him go. Now he's not even in the league anymore. The Browns never did that with Josh Gordon. The Browns recognized that he had talent, and I'm sure it was, you know, that was the reason why they kept him on the team. And that was the reason why they wanted him to get through all of this and the suspensions and everything, because he's a great football player on the field. But as an organization, they continue to pay him and continue to keep him on the roster while he works stuff out. And I'm not saying that they're done with him now, but it doesn't look bright. But it doesn't look bright for him, which is unfortunate.
They're standing by him now, as they should.
It's just a difference in the organizations where you cut your losses, where you don't. I don't know if it's apples versus apples at this point. Clearly, we don't know. But you know, I did read the Greg, and this is the difference between the two players. Josh Gordon, he checks himself into rehab because he recognizes he has a problem. Greg Hardy said, "That's not my coke. I don't know how it got here. I was at a party." Or I was at a club or something. And then they find residue in his wallet. I don't even know why I know this because I'm like raining.
Oh, because
they
used his credit card to cut it off.
Right. So they found stuff in his wallet. And his response, Steve, you know what it was? Well, I was passing my wallet around because I was paying for everything. So I just had my wallet being passed around. So someone must have just used. That's how they did it.
What a piece of crap.
That's the difference.
What a piece of crap. I'm sure he kicked both our asses at the
same
time.
Oh my god! You'd snap our necks.
What a piece of crap that guy is making up that bull.
Because you know he was just cutting up coke.
Oh, yeah. But I guess the reason I brought that up, would it help him as a PR for himself in the league if he ever has a chance in this league ever again? Which the CFL or the European Football League is a much better opportunity for you if you would check yourself into rehab. And you can still make decent money.
So let me ask you. If Josh Gordon comes to you as his team, so let's say he gets cut, which he probably will. Let's say he gets cut and he shows that he's gone through rehab, he's served all his fines, he's done everything. Is an NFL team going to give him a shot? Probably because they got talent, right?
Well, you got talent.
For the same reason,
you've done the right steps that you're supposed to do.
For the same reason that Greg Hardy, based on his one season, one or maybe
it'll
two
be
seasons,
all incentive based contract,
sure. But the one or two seasons that Greg Hardy was a beast in Carolina and you know, was amazing and all those things, even though he was going through all the off-the-field stuff, the Cowboys gave him a chance. You as a GM, between the two of them, which one are you going to give a shot to?
Josh Gordon.
Because he's doing the right thing, right?
Yeah.
Greg Hardy goes to rehab at this point. Are you still giving him a shot?
Well, not after, telling him, no, that's not my coke, That's
There's a lot to say about character.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Exactly.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Exactly. And look at Ray Rice. Never had another shot. He never had another shot.
I thought for sure someone would pick him up. Hey, Seattle.
It's over for him now.
If they don't pick him up this year, he's never getting signed.
And the reason I bring up Ray Rice is because he did everything right.
Yep.
He did everything right. He admitted to it. He said, I'm sorry. You know, his wife now, because I think it was his fiance at the time, she comes out and says, it was no big deal. But people could not lose the memory of the video that they saw in the elevator.
I can't. I'm thinking about it right now. As soon as you mention Ray Rice, I
know you are, because I'm doing the same thing. But you defamate yourself in that situation. All Josh Gordon is doing is being addicted to marijuana, which, by the way, is legal in a lot of our states in this country, but we're chastising him because he can't stay on the football field. And again, I commend the Browns.
At least it's a weed.
As far as we know. So, yeah, I mean, Josh, good luck to you.
So, anyway, speaking of rookie quarterbacks, we got into it a little while ago. We kind of got into it a second ago when we were talking about Josh Gordon, or Jeff Gordon, as you would like to put it.
Yep.
There was a lot of rookies at quarterbacks making some big splashes in the NFL this week and this season.
Yeah.
We got Carson Wentz, obviously. We got Dak Prescott.
Yep.
We got Cody Kessler.
Yep.
Now in Cleveland. Trevor Siemian.
Who's not a rookie, but may as well be.
Yes, there, some of them aren't rookies, but they are a rookie at quarterback, yep. Starting. You got Jacoby Brissett and Trevor Boykin.
Boykin didn't start. So I'm going to start with Boykin and work my way back up. So Boykin comes in relief for Wilson.
And technically, Garoppolo also.
Yeah, you can throw him in there as well. You know, I'm not going to talk about individually, I guess. There's a couple guys I'm going to call out. But, you know, my real thought process with bringing this all up was some of these names are names that we were like, who? What? What are you talking about? Carson Wentz, North Dakota State? No one's seen him play. You know, Brissett, I think he played at North Carolina State. Jacoby, you know, from the Patriots, we talked a lot about that last episode, so not a ton there. These guys are getting reps, and they're looking good, and they're making decisions that are veteran-like decisions. So the question is are the offenses getting so much better? Are the schemes getting so much better where these young guys can come in and execute?
Or
the based on the scheme,
being so much better.
Or is it just pure talent? Yeah. Or is it just pure talent? Or is the NFL that bad on defense that these guys are looking so good?
Well, they're not that bad on defense. Just it's become a defensive game. But the rookie quarterbacks have come in and kind of thrown a fucking, you know, monkey wrench in the whole thing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So we were going through because of the iTunes debacle. We were going through, and I remember we talked week one, we're not going to crown Carson Wentz. I'm going to keep bringing back Carson Wentz. We were not going to crown him, even though he had a great week one. I wrote off week two, because I was like, whatever, right?
Everybody has a good game.
The reason I wrote off week two is because it was against the Bears, right? I'm like, wow, the Bears are terrible. He looked good, but the Bears are terrible, so that's not real. But then he goes into Pittsburgh and does what he does. That one play to Sproles, where he was scrambling and he was throwing off of the side of his foot. You know, he made something happen. Obviously, like, it was a broken play, but he found Sproles. Sproles does most of the work, but he wouldn't have been able to get the ball to Sproles if he didn't read it. And just the poise that these guys have, right? And the success. And Dak doing the same thing, right? Dak looking good, making good decisions. You know, and these are guys that, I mean, Dak was a fourth-round pick. Carson obviously was a second, you know, number two pick overall. But, I mean, no one saw him play. So Cleveland thinking, well, maybe he wasn't the guy. Philly looking like gods at this point because this guy may be, like, I think they're calling it Wentzylvania now, right? So my last question, it's just crazy. I guess the whole point of me bringing this up is how crazy I think it is because we were reading something about from the Bleacher Report. I can't remember who the guy's name was now, but he's talking about how the NFL rushes these guys in, even though they're too young and too early in their development process to get them to play early in their careers. That is a problem for them because they don't end up developing. They're developing just fine.
Exactly. They are far and above what we've expected from rookie quarterbacks moving forward.
Absolutely.
And I guarantee you, moving forward, any team that drafts a quarterback in the first round is starting that quarterback.
They're going to look at it again, right? They're going to definitely check it.
They're going to be like, who's our starting quarterback?
Steve.
Yeah, no, we're going to go ahead and put this young kid in.
Why not? What do you got to lose, right? So, that being said, if you're Jared Goff and you're sitting there, I'm the number one pick. I was the guy, right? And I'm looking around, I'm looking at Carson, I'm looking at Dak, I'm looking at all these guys. Cody Kessler,
you know, you know what I'm doing if I'm Goff?
What's he doing?
I'm going to call Aaron Rodgers and ask him, hey, dude, I know you probably came in this league thinking that you're the next one up and yada, yada, yada. And you sat for,
four or four years?
And, you know, what do I do to keep myself at bay and cool? Calm, collected, going into practice and into games to just sit here with a
football. and that's a great point, Steve.
I want to be a clipboard quarterback. Everybody else is doing good, and here I am sitting on the bench.
And what sucks in his situation, it's even more. So at least with Aaron Rodgers, you can go on behind a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you know whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have that with Brett Favre, but Goff is behind. Who's
Case Keenum?
Case Keenum. I was gonna say it's like Casey Kasem is Casey Kasem. So Casey Kasem is their starter, and they're 2-1. So there's no panic, right? There's no panic in LA to make a switch at this point.
No. Because
they're winning games. So if they were 0-3, looking really bad, you know, then there could be a, you know, a case being made and say.
Well, I think it also helps that you've got Todd Gurley.
Yeah, well,
as your running back, because obviously your offense is based around running the ball.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, for me, for Goff, keep your head in there. He's gonna get a shot. But it is crazy to see all the success that's happening, and the number one overall pick in the draft hasn't taken a snap. And so, some of those other guys, it's circumstance. You know, Dak Prescott, if Tony didn't get hurt, wouldn't be playing. We know that. You know, we're not dumb to that. You know, if Josh McCown and, you know, didn't get hurt, you know, some of this is just circumstance, and I understand that. But
yeah,
it's still crazy to see how much success they're having. And Goff sitting there like, well, can I get a shot now? You know, when's it going to be my turn?
You want to give him a little therapy while we're sitting there?
No, just, yeah, you know, Goff, just keep your head there, man. Like, I don't know enough about you to know whether you're going to be great or not. But
just sit back and learn as much as you can at this point.
Soak,
I mean,
soak it
might
in.
As well.
Hell, you know, you could be in worse places. At least Aaron Rodgers was stuck in Green Bay. You're in L.A.
You're in L.A. Sunshine and wind. So,
yeah,
I mean, who cares?
Yeah, I think you're going to be okay. You know, just keep your head in there. Maybe I'll do another therapy with Jeff down the road to try to get you in there.
So, has the game changed with all these rookie quarterbacks going there anything?
I think the philosophy may have changed. You know, I don't know if the game's changed. I think the philosophy
it's more defensive-based now that we're seeing the Vikings and, you know, we have the Panthers.
Well, the ones that are having success.
The Panthers have fallen off, but they had the Panthers defense for many years.
Well, the Broncos.
The Broncos. Defense. You got, allegedly, Houston's defense was supposed to be.
There's still arguments there. I mean, there's some strong defenses.
Obviously, we've got to put Kansas City in.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of changes when it comes to, which is great for the league because it's a passing league now. It's still quarterback centric. This is the whole reason we're having this conversation. But it's, I think the philosophy is now is, let's just see what we got with these guys. If we're not sure about our quarterback, and obviously there's teams that know their quarterback, right? Roethlisberger's not going anywhere anytime soon. Brady, you know, he comes back. There's no Brissett's not starting over Brady. Like, there's no controversy there, right? Like, these guys, like,
we'll get it. We'll see what happens this week.
Drew Brees, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Like, those guys, you know, the perennial names, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But now you got these situations, like, which is awesome, right? Carson Wentz, to me, is a just great story because he's that story the NFL needed. Tom Brady was a 7th-round pick that didn't start until he came to the Patriots, right? And Bledsoe got hurt, and he goes and wins the Super Bowl, right? 7th-round pick. How many times have we heard that in our lives versus the Peyton Manning #1 pick? Now, Carson was a #2 pick, but the storyline's not going to be that he was #2 pick. It was going to be he played at North Dakota State.
Is Jerry Jones wrong? Because I brought it up last week, and we talked about it for a second, but is Jerry Jones wrong by saying it's Tony Romo's team when he comes back?
It depends on what the record is and depends on how well he's playing. If Dak Prescott is in a rhythm and Dez goes gets a fucking MRI, it's the first time I cussed, if he goes and gets an MRI, it changes things. It definitely is a question mark. Now, Jerry's going to do whatever Jerry wants to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't necessarily know that you completely hand the mantle over now, but Tony's 36.
Oh, he's that old. Oh.
So how much longer are you going to give him?
Yeah.
And what has he won for you to this point? If you had a winning record and Dak is doing well, why would you shake it up? See how it plays out. What happens if he takes you to the playoffs? What happens if he takes you to the playoffs? What happens if he takes you to the Super Bowl?
Maybe you just go ahead and keep paying Tony at some point in time and be like, hey, dude, I'm going to pay you to be here. don't know any other teams that want you right now, but we'll pay you decent money to be a clipboard quarterback and coach my kid.
The Patriots did it. Bledsoe was on the team for a minute. You know,
I mean, you're not going to have a starting quarterback sit on your bench, you know what I mean, for millions of dollars.
36 years
to,
old.
To coach, you know, Dak Prescott. I mean, that's not what he probably wants to play for. That, you know, he wants to play.
Right. Yeah, and another name that we haven't mentioned is Paxton Mills, right? You know, he's another guy that came out.
Oh, Braxton Mills.
Braxton
Mills. I thought you were talking about Paxton Lynch.
Oh, no.
Because he's in Denver, and he's sitting on
that's what I was talking about. I'm sorry. Not Braxton Mills. Braxton Mills, he's a wide receiver for someone.
No, that's all
right. Paxton Lynch. Again, was supposed to be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos when they had the whole transition and everything. Well, Simeon comes out, and I said his name right. Not Simeon, because he played so well that I got to get his name right.
We got to work his name.
I got to get his name right? He looked good, and he's looked better every game. They're 3-0. A lot of that has to do with their defense, but, man, he looked awesome on Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you're in the AFC, the class of that conference – is still the Broncos. Peyton looked like crap all last year. They still made it to the Super Bowl and won. Simeon, you look great. And you know what? You know who looks better, Steve? John Elway. Because you know what you didn't do? You didn't pay Brock Osweiler. Because you had a guy in your system that's getting it done. Well, for a hell of a lot less money.
He looked at that Super Bowl loss and he was like, we need to do that. No, the loss to Seattle. And he was like, we need to do that.
Yeah.
And he built that defense up. And that defense is all what it's all about.
I mean, what was it, like $140 million Brock got? Simeon's probably getting like a quarter of that.
He's getting chunk if that. Compared to him.
I mean, he's going
to
get paid eventually, but
he's getting tipped to, you know, quarter of his car at this point. That's how much money he's being paid.
Right. So he wins a Super Bowl this year. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but if he wins a Super Bowl this year, you got a Super Bowl on a bargain.
Yeah.
You paid Peyton Manning $20 million to get you a Super Bowl that he didn't really do much to get you. And you paid this kid next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Could be the same thing. So, more to come. Bears, pay attention.
All right, Jim. Game picks time. Coming up.
All right, hold on. Let me get all my gambling losses pulled up real quick.
Oh, well, that's you're going to be on your phone for quite a while.
Oh,
because
my God.
After last week. So, let's just start with the game in London.
London,
Indianapolis Colts.
Isn't Chuck over there?
Are the away game. Chuck Fenton is over there.
He's over there. He's going to the game. Okay. I saw some stuff in his Facebook.
My buddy Maddie's going too. Jealous of that.
My buddy Maddie's up in Europe. I think he's going to the game too. So
I think it was like $2,200 for like the ticket over there, the ticket to the game, and like 3-night stay over there. I mean, it's a bargain for sure.
If it was going to be a better game. Well, so I was just going to say, so let me just go ahead and start. So Jacksonville 0-3, neither one of us thought they were going to be 0-3 at this point.
No.
We thought they were going to be just performing better
maybe
than they have.
Two, you know.
Yeah, at least a win. I mean, they had a tough, I mean, they just laid an egg.
They played good against the Week 1 in Green Bay.
And then laid an egg, and then you know, they lost to my Raiders last week, which, was it the Raiders? No, it wasn't the Raiders. I can't remember who they lost to. They lost to somebody, but
yeah.
0-3, technically a home game for Jacksonville. The Lions -2.5 favored Colts, which doesn't really mean anything other than the Colts right now are -2.5. Coming off that victory, coming off of the emotional victory that they had in the last minute, London games are always so tough to get. Like, they're just so tough. I'm going to pick the Colts to win. They'll cover this 2.5 nonsense. They'll win by at least a touchdown. I'm not betting on this game.
All right, Jim. For science, I'm going to pick Jacksonville in this game.
That didn't work with it. It worked with
Snow. No, it's now you picking the Colts. So I'm going to pick Jacksonville just because I know how close these two games are.
Yeah.
Snow and I went to the Jacksonville game in Lucas Oil last year, and it came down to a field goal.
Yeah.
And that's how every single game against Jacksonville comes down to. And they're going to play us tough. They know their lives are on the line. They're due.
And I'm probably like going to be wrong, and that's fine. Because they're due. They,
they're not going to go 0-4, are they? But are the Colts going to go 1-3? I mean, it's a tough
one. Well, the Colts defense is looking better in their defense, but I just don't trust Andrew Luck right now. I just can't. Yeah. Show me something, and I hope he does show me something better than he has been in the last few weeks. But I'm picking Jacksonville on this one. I would, as far as Indy plus two, Jacksonville just a win at this point in time.
They just won it. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a pretty even bet for if you're on the edge of it, because Jacksonville always ends up with a three-point game. Yeah.
And I always say I'm not going to bet, but it's a 9:30 game. I'm going to be in Chicago, so it'll be 8:30.
Yeah,
depending on how my Saturday goes, I may just get up and be like, well, let's just go throw something on there. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts. You're going with Jacksonville.
All right, yeah. So next game at 1 o'clock, yeah. Or 12 o'clock, you're in Chicago.
It'll be in Chicago. And it's in Chicago.
It's in Chicago.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Are you going 0-4?
Yes. We're absolutely going 0-4.
Spread's only three.
Three favored by Detroit. That means we're technically
favored by Detroit. You told me it was favored by Chicago.
No. It was favored by Detroit. So that means we're down a touchdown.
I wrote it down -3. And I was like, oh, the home team's favored. That's all good.
No. So, yeah, I'm not spending more time talking about it because I'm just so, yeah, we're going to be 0-4. We're absolutely going to be 0-4.
Are you going to bet against Chicago?
I always say that I will, and then I end up like – I took them +7 last night or on Sunday because I'm a homer. And, you know, I'll end up saying, oh, you know, the Bears will pull it out. You know, I talk about it, you know. But my instinct is always right. We're just not good. Detroit looks good. Marvin Jones Jr., I think. I don't even know. Like, that's how bad it is. But he had, like, 205 yards and two touchdowns. Calvin, who is what they're saying up there? And yeah, no, we're losing that game. Detroit covers the spread.
I'm with you. Detroit definitely wins this game and definitely covers the spread. So I thought this game was kind of interesting just because of J.J. Watt's injury. Tennessee at Houston. This now? So Houston's 1-2. Houston's 2-1. I thought this was because of the division rivalry game.
Yeah.
This would be a fun game to look at just because of Marcus Mariota now not going up against J.J. Watt and that defense.
Well, what's also...
Houston is so favored by 4.5.
So what's more interesting is if Tennessee goes in there and actually wins the game, you got a 2-2 Tennessee team. You'll have a 2-2 Houston.
Possibly a 2-2 Indy team.
A possible 2-2. So you'll have a three-way deal going on there.
Yeah.
And then Jacksonville in the dust again, right? Or you could have a 1-3 Colts team, a 1-3 Jacksonville team, a 1-3 Tennessee team, and a 3-1 Houston team. So a lot going on here in week 4 this division.
It'll be a good test with Brock Osweiler coming off such a bad week.
Absolutely.
It'll be a good test to see if they can rebound from that bullet weapon they received by Bill Belichick and his team.
So I'm not going out on a limb, but what I am saying, though, I think Houston is the better team at home. They proved that the first two games. I mean, the only loss, obviously, was at New England. They looked good the first two home games that they had. I will take Houston, and I think they do cover this for everything with my touchdown.
I'm going to take Tennessee, not to win the game.
You're going to take them +4.5, though?
I'm just going to take them to not – so they can not cover the spread.
So they can lose by up to 4.
Yeah.
But I think
it's going to be a little closer than we think. And the spread could change at this point in time. It's Thursday.
Yeah. It won't change my mind.
But I think Marcus Mariota is looking at that. They're looking at the tape, what happened and what they did. And they've got DeMarco Murray. They've got Derrick Henry. And they've got some offensive weaponry to run the ball. They can duplicate that offensive scheme that New England did.
It'll be a fun game to watch early. I won't watch it, though, because I'll be watching the Bears getting their butts kicked.
I mean, it might be a nice game to jump back into just to see. Like I said, just a division rivalry game. All right, so Carolina at Atlanta. Carolina's favored by 3.
So, obviously, we know what happened with Carolina last week. They're coming off a loss at home, going on the road to a 2-1 Atlanta team.
Who just beat New Orleans Katrina's 10-year anniversary.
And beat them handily.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a close game.
I should have taken the over in that game. I didn't. Didn't get the bet.
You texted me. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get the bet in time. I think Carolina bounces back. I think they have to. I mean, Carolina's not going to be a 1-3 football team. They're just not. So
that will hang over?
That being, well, they didn't win it, so we can't be, right?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like the Super Bowl hangover. You went to the Super Bowl, but you still got a hangover from it.
You're getting a hangover. They need to protect Cam. And Cam, we've talked about this already.
Let him do his 17 touchdowns.
Right. Stop. Dude, like, stop. You're putting yourself in that situation. Like, we talked about that already. But I don't think they're going to go 1-3. Carolina goes. They win. They cover that spread. -3. They win by a touchdown. I mean, at least. Atlanta's still got too many question marks. Julio Jones had one catch on Monday. One catch. He was asked.
Everybody knows who you're going to throw to.
Right. And they asked him, are you okay? And he's like, I'm not hurt. Like, throw me the ball is basically what he's saying. Like, Julio Jones is one of those guys who's like, hey, sweet, I got paid. Not to be a decoy. What that's all about, right? Like, he's not trying to be a decoy. He wants the ball. They didn't target him.
But you're covering two guys on him. Obviously,
you
got somebody else open. Yeah, and Matt Ryan's smart enough to pick it up.
Yeah. There may be some locker room stuff going on there that we don't know.
I like the fact that, I mean, I know I picked Carolina like all the time. I like Cam Newton. I like Carolina. I like Ron Riviera. I like everybody in Carolina, what they're doing. They're going to go 1-3. Atlanta's going to win this game.
Bold.
And cover the spread.
Bold. That's all I got to say, bold, because I don't think you're right.
I mean, I couldn't be.
We also didn't think we didn't think Arizona was going to go 1-2.
We didn't think Pittsburgh would get their butts whooped by Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely right.
So, I mean, this is any given Sunday, man. So
it's bold. I mean, you could be right.
It'd be interesting to see Carolina at 1-4 and see what they can actually do and if they make any kind of personnel changes.
If they go 1-3, and that would mean Atlanta's 1-3-1, that's a two-game spread plus one head-to-head.
Oof.
Things could get interesting, man.
Yeah, I mean, they got Coleman, they got Freeman, they got Julio, they got an offense, and they got Jacob Cannon, our guy.
That could be interesting. That could be interesting. If that ends up happening, it could be interesting.
So here's a battle, top of the AFC. Well, some of the top teams in the AFC, Oakland and Baltimore.
Who? What?
Oakland at Baltimore. Baltimore is picked by 3.5 right now.
The only thing I want to say about Baltimore is they're undefeated.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they're undefeated, though?
That's what I was going to ask. So, who are all the undefeated teams? We got Denver.
I think there's six.
We got Denver, Minnesota, Baltimore, New England. Who else we got?
I think there's two more.
There's two more. I think they're NFC teams. Yeah. Or two more NFC teams.
I'm gonna look it up while you're
give
your pick.
Oakland at Baltimore. Baltimore is done. They haven't played too many teams that I would deem them to be dethroned at this point in time in the AFC.
Okay.
But I'm with you on this one, dude. I know you're going to pick Oakland because it's Oakland. And they're looking a lot better than they have been. It'll be a good test for Baltimore's defense with Toomer and Derek Carr. So I'm going to pick Oakland.
I am taking Oakland as well. Oakland almost gave that game up, but they finally got a win. They're 2-1. I just like what they're doing over there. And Steve, there's only five teams, and the other one is the Eagles.
Oh, wow. All right.
3-0. Baltimore doesn't feel like a... Right. Yeah. So Baltimore, to me, doesn't feel like a 3-0 team. They almost lost a couple games. They're pulling it out.
They played Miami and Cleveland at this point in time.
And you should have beat them, and they were both games that they could have potentially lost, right? That Cleveland game, like that first half, I was like, what's going on here? Oakland, to me, figured it out on defense, which was our biggest knock last week when we talked about it, was how many, they broke a record for the first two games, most yards that they've ever given up. They figured it out. Granted, it was the Titans, but they went into Tennessee. They figured it out on defense. They won that game. I think Oakland goes into Baltimore, wins that game.
Covers the spread.
I would take it. I would take it. I would take it plus 3.5. I would probably, if I bet this game, it'll be plus 3.5. So Oakland technically
are you
lose by
game?
3.
Probably.
I'm probably going to bet on all of them because that's what I do. But I do like Oakland.
So just because it's Drew Brees and our intern is a Purdue grad, and Drew Brees is also, Drew Brees going into San Diego for the first time.
Which is crazy to me. So I had to double check this because I was the one that brought this up to you when we were pre-planning this. Crazy to me that he's been in New Orleans, which feels like 10 years. I don't know if it's been that long, but it feels like he's
been 10 years.
Like people forget that he was even a Charger. And this is the first time
I think
the Saints are going to San Diego.
I think one, Drew signed in New Orleans, then Katrina hit. So I think it has
he
been
was definitely there for
because
Katrina. You're right.
That was Sean Payton's first year.
Yeah, you're right. He was definitely there for Katrina, so at least 10 years.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me to think that in 10 years, Drew's never gone back to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, he's going back. And I think they asked him the question about, you know, how he feels about it. And he's like, I've been looking forward to this for a very long time. So if you don't remember what happened, how it happened, you know, Drew basically, you know, Philip Rivers got drafted, and we've been talking about rookie quarterbacks and everything, and he was expendable at that point, so they cut him, and he ends up, you know, going to New Orleans, winning the Super Bowl there, breaking all kinds of records, and, you know, we'll probably break some more before he's done, and, you know, has a Hall of Fame career as a Saint, going back to the Chargers. And here's the team, here's the opposite, though, you know, when we talk about the actual game, the opposite of what I think is crazy is Baltimore being 3-0. Do you feel like the Saints are an 0-3 football team at this point?
Which so where's the point of winning tonight? Yes, they are.
It's just crazy.
But
they're going to have to figure stuff out on defense. Because their defense is just
atrocious.
Awful.
Yeah.
It is just so bad. Drew can only do so much. The offense is putting up points. They're putting up yards. They're, you know, he's on my fantasy. I know he's doing well. They're just not figuring it out.
So who are you picking?
Betting wise,
spread is 4.
Betting wise, I would bet on the over in this game. I'm not betting the spread. I would bet the over. I don't know what the number is, but it's going to be a shootout because
yeah,
they always are.
That is 100% right.
But I don't think San Diego at 1-2.
What is the over?
I can tell you in a second, actually. Over under 53.5, which is a big number in the NFL, but
it's Philip and
they cover that'll
even without Keenan. I think San Diego can put up the points.
Yeah, that'll. I mean,
it does hurt them. Obviously, we saw it last week.
The Saints' defense is, and Drew's gonna have to keep throwing the ball and keep.
Is
scoring.
Antonio going to play this week?
I don't think it's been called either way yet at this point. In fact, I don't think he is because
if he's not playing, New Orleans gets the first win.
They're going to hit the over for sure.
Because Drew Brees is playing.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. I'm taking the Saints as well. I don't think the Saints go 0-4. I think they go into San Diego. Drew's got a lot to prove.
And he's going home. Like, that's where his home is.
Yeah, they're taking.
He sure as hell doesn't live in West Lafayette, Indiana.
No, he does not. Yeah, so I got New Orleans. I'm not sure about the -4. Definitely the over. You know what? No, New Orleans covers the New Orleans covers the spread and the over.
It's 4 points, so
yeah, we're good.
All right, so Sunday Night Football, dude. Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Does Pittsburgh rebound off that butt whooping in Pennsylvania?
So what's crazy to me is we can talk about Pittsburgh being potentially 2-2, and the Chiefs being 3-1. Not in the same division, but obviously there's all kinds of playoff implications when it comes to seedings and wildcards and all that. There's no way Pittsburgh comes out and looks as bad as they did.
2 weeks in a row at
two
home.
2 weeks in a row.
At home.
No way.
Pittsburgh is favored by a touchdown at home.
Pittsburgh covers the spread. They win by at least 2 touchdowns. I think it's going to be an ass whooping. And I'm a Chiefs guy, as we know.
They came off picking.
Yeah, I did. I know. But
is that spread the amount of picks that's going to happen?
No. Well, it's Roethlisberger, not Fitzpatrick. That's your difference. I would take Pittsburgh to win.
Le'Veon Bell's back this weekend.
And Le'Veon's back this week.
So how much of the workload is D'Angelo Williams going to lose?
A ton based on fantasy. I just dropped him today. He was projected. I did, because he was projected last week. He was projected to do like 12 points, I think, in one of the leagues. And I think he got 9. He's projected to do 3 this week.
He just dropped him, huh? All right. Well, let me
get it. I'm not going to tell you which league I dropped him in. I'm only in 3 of them.
I'm going to be on 2 of them, so I might just pick him up real quick.
It's definitely one of the ESPN ones, but I did drop him because I think that production is going way down. Le'Veon is going to be like, bring it. Give me the ball. Let's go. They cover the spread. Chiefs drop to 2-2. Steelers go 3-1.
I think Pittsburgh fans are pissed off, and they're going to be loud as shit.
Absolutely.
And they're going to be happy to see Le'Veon back on Sunday night football game. The place is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
Pittsburgh doesn't cover the spread, but wins the game.
Fair enough.
I think their defense is a little suspect right now. And obviously, Philadelphia showed it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't bet on this game. What's the over-under on this game? I wouldn't bet on this game on spread-wise. I would
47.5. Take the over on that one, too.
I would definitely take the over on that one. I would not pick Pittsburgh plus, to win the touchdown.
I'll call it now. Pittsburgh 28, Kansas City 20.
It'll be a close game. I agree. I'm kind of with you on that. Not more than 6, though. I think it's going to come down to a 5-3-point game. It might come down to a field goal.
Hopefully it's just competitive. We haven't had a good Sunday
night. I think it's going to be an offensive shootout on Sunday night. I think it's going to be a fun one to watch. You know what else is going to be a fun one to watch? Finally, a Monday Night Football game that's going to be fun to see. Besides,
Who we got?
The Giants at the Vikings.
So the Giants lost the game.
So we're going to see Eli Manning, Odell, and Victor versus the Vikings defense.
Which will be fun. And the Giants should be 3-0, quite honestly. They lost another close one. They got to stop losing so many damn close games because they're better than that.
Yeah.
Well,
they lost their starting running back. They lost him because he's definitely on a fantasy team, so I got to find somebody else. Apparently, I should have picked up somebody over here and Cincinnati, but apparently not.
I would say this will be a good game. Minnesota's favored by 5, which is an interesting line number. 5 is just weird.
That means it's going to change.
Well, yeah, but like a half, so it'll be like 5.5. Like, that's more of a college spread than it is an NFL spread. It's just strange. Because what they're saying is they like Minnesota, but they don't like him enough to win by a touchdown. I guess I'm on the Vikings bandwagon. I think they're going to go 4-0. I don't like the -5, so I'll probably stay away from that. But I will say the Vikings win that game.
I know.
In that new badass stadium they got going on, too.
Yeah, it is pretty nice. It's definitely cool to see just in the daylight, too. Snow's not here.
He's not.
But I'm going to pick for him. Giants.
Okay.
In Minnesota.
Can they pull off a win? That does sound like a snow win.
Odell blew up on sidelines last week.
He did.
He's mad. Coach called him out this week. What the hell is that guy's name? Gatto or whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter. He called him out in the media.
Which I don't like.
Which I don't do that. I didn't really like it, but.
I don't like when they do that.
But at the same time, wake up call, dude. Stop blowing up. And actually just be a professional and go out and do your job.
He didn't have a bad game.
He did.
He had over 100 yards.
But he also got fucking body slammed by Josh Norman.
Stop letting Josh Norman get in your head, Odell.
Yeah, it definitely worked, dude. So I think he calms down. I think he figures it out. I think the Giants go into Minnesota and pull off a win. Dude.
They need it because that division's wide open, and you can't go 2-2 when you got the Eagles going into their bye 3-0.
Again, this is going to be a close game.
Yeah.
It's going to be about 3 points.
Yeah, so you're saying no spread, but they win.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are our picks. So, I don't even know what episode this is. Episode 7, I think.
Something like that,
yeah, we're doing our thing. We're in the middle of week 4 kickoff because we're watching this Popsicle team play, or Freeze Pop, I think is what it is, play the Bengals, and I did that on the Dolphins.
Freeze Pop versus the Bengals.
We didn't talk about it. But once again, we appreciate you guys listening. listening. We apologize for the iTunes debacle. We're going to get this figured out. Again, last week's episode is now loaded in iTunes. This one hopefully will be on tonight as well. Check
us
out.
Please argue with Jim on Facebook.
Please do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Not on the Facebook page, on our Facebook page.
And we'll send out some teasers and some things that you guys can respond to on Facebook as well. We'll get better about doing all of that. So,
well, I'll bring it up on air. You know I will.
And I hate the fact that I have to keep doing this, but we're going down, so we might as well just keep saying, bear down.